Are you tired of the endless supply of terrible storytelling? Of uninspiring, nihilistic stories that permeate most of modern-day entertainment? Are you tired of the diversity, equality, and inclusion standards that are forced upon movie creators and actors? Well, so are we. So go with us on a journey as we chronicle for you the latest news in entertainment, as we discuss the good, the bad, and the ugly of the film industry, and as we pave a way forward to see the kingdom of Christ grow and the dragon of secularism meet its end. Now, if you want to support us in our mission, please head over to patreon.com/thePowell Bros, or follow the link in the show notes. There, you will gain access to our exclusive show, The Powell Bros Mini Reviews, as well as early access to both Movie Chronicles and Movie Reviews. Now, on with the show.
Alrighty, welcome back to Movie Chronicles with the Powell Bros. I am one of your hosts, Tobias Powell, joined with your other host, Trent. Trent, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Another long week, long day of work, but I'm here and ready to decompress and talk about news related to pop culture and entertainment. Give you the latest, as we always do, in our thoughts and opinions, because that's what you're here for, of course.
Yep.
To pick our brains, and we're here to help you.
For sure. Yes. Yeah. So, have you seen a few things?
Yes. So, unlike most weeks, we actually have some good news. I don't know if we want to save the good news for later. We build up the anticipation. I mean, it's not like that crazy good, but
I don't even know if I know what you're talking about.
I don't know. I mean, I just have two things that are like kind of cool and I'm excited about.
Okay.
Well, let's get Rings of Power out of the way. So Rings of Power season 2 just dropped last night. They did a theatrical release for the first two. Okay. So the first season, they did normal release schedule, one episode every week,
mm-hmm.
Like normal.
Yep.
But this season, they decided to drop the first three episodes,
which from right off the bat, from history, we know is a bad sign.
It's a bad sign, and from what I've heard of the episodes, they're pretty bad.
Yep.
And there are reviews coming out from like sources that like usually shill for these things, like they hype up The Acolyte. They, you know, hyped up the first season of Rings of Power and said how amazing it is. Like Screen Rant would be one of them. Though Screen Rant has a lot of good stuff. I trust them sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, like even stuff like Screen Rant are saying it's incredibly boring. And
yep. No, it's, yeah, I not saw very exciting. It's Lord of the Borings.
Lord of the Borings. And like they hyped up the season. They said there's going to be a lot of battles and a lot of exciting things. Mm-hmm. There's going to be like a 2-episode long battle, apparently. They wanted to just get the boring stuff out of the way, I guess. But, man, so just to catch you all up, everyone, we have not watched Rings of Power. I started Rings of Power when it first came out. I watched 5 minutes, and I turned it off. And I had no desire to watch it beyond that. But this past couple weeks, I've been suffering through it. It was like a week, last week. So I'm only 3 episodes in of season 1.
Wow.
Mostly because I've not had much time to watch anymore. Like I've literally every block of time I can find, I watch it. But I swear, like I heard it was bad, but man, it is insufferable. Like I cannot stand this show. It's just so bad.
Wow.
It's, you know, set aside the lore problems, because there's a lot of lore problems. None of the characters are likable. Galadriel is the main character, is the most annoying, rude, masculine woman. Now she's not like a, okay, maybe not masculine woman, but she acts like a man. Her character is written like a man. She acts like a man, and she's really annoying. She's mean to everyone. She's always have this like snarky face on look on her face all the time.
Yeah.
And she's besting everyone, telling everyone that she's right, they're wrong. She, you know, she has no problem taking down a cave troll that a bunch of men weren't able to handle. And she does it all by herself. She goes around and tells the High King of the elves, what's up, and tells him that, you know, I can't remember what she told him, but basically she told him up, and it was really cringy. The whole show has been cringy, and they're following like three different characters or character storylines. And it's just, it's all boring. You have like female Frodo and female Sam and the Harfoots. And they find definitely not Gandalf, but very much Gandalf, even though Gandalf's not supposed to be in the second age. He hasn't come to Middle Earth till the third age. So it's probably not Gandalf, but they've pretty much teased in every way possible that it's Gandalf without actually saying it's Gandalf, but whatever.
Wild.
So I don't know. I'm, like I said, three episodes in. I wanted to finish the first season before season two came out, but I mean, I don't have time to watch three episodes of the second season. They're hour long episodes too, which is really annoying, and an hour long of just boring, insufferable content.
Yeah.
Also, just the lore. They condense the timeline. They're all over the place. Galadriel is doing her. The whole plot is. The whole plot of the show is not found in the books.
Hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
This mission that Galadriel is going on was not something she ever did in the books. This is something that they made up. It's a storyline they created. And it's basically to tell Sauron's story, but it's told in such a insufferable way.
Yeah.
I was going to say, that's the word that keeps coming to mind when I think of the show. I can't suffer through it. I can't watch it. I can't handle it. It's just so, especially just because it's Tolkien and they're messing with something they should not be messing with, or they're messing with something in a way that is not doing justice to the professor, and it's really frustrating. So season two is out. It's boring. They did a theatrical release. Apparently, most of the theaters were hardly even half full.
Yeah.
And it's just, yeah. I don't know if I have much more. Oh, also season two. So, Tobias, we have defeated the misogynists. We have defeated the anti-feminists, because every single episode of season two was directed by a woman. So a round of applause. They've done it.
That's so annoying. They fixed feminism.
So, just add that.
They solved feminism.
Yep. The rings of power, the most patriarchal, masculine book series, franchise, if you want to call it that. I don't know if you want to call it a franchise, but one of the most patriarchal book series of out there is being run by a bunch of women who are and they're forcing all their identity politics. You know, you have all shades of colors of dwarves and elves, and it just stands out. It takes you out of the story. This is the how they're writing the characters and even their appearances. This is not what Tolkien intended. Also, the show, like, it just looks fake. It looks like these people are cosplaying as Middle Earth Tolkien characters.
Yeah.
And it feels so, like, there was a realism to the Lord of the Rings movies that this show does not have, even though they spent so much money. But it's also, they spent so much money on it, and then they oversaturated CGI, where they're not using practical sets like they did in the movies. Or using, like, one thing they did in the movies, like, for Rivendell, is I'm pretty sure they created miniatures of Rivendell.
Oh, yeah. There's tons of miniatures for the Lord of the Rings. Yeah.
And it looks incredible. I would take that any day over this billion-dollar TV show that Amazon is pumping out.
Because
they just oversaturated with CGI, and it just feels fake. There's no realism to it.
Well, with a perfect transition, I'm going to change the subject of... Well, I'm not changing the subject. It's on the subject of realism and CGI and all that. So yeah. I don't know if you saw the set photos for Fantastic Four, that the Thing is going to be an actual costume, not CGI. I mean, there'll be post-production, some post-production CGI, but it's an actual costume. Like, I was very surprised at that. And I mean, it actually kind of makes sense with like the kind of suit he has, and that he's actually wearing a suit for most of it. Most of his costume is a suit, and then he's just got the hands and face for for the Rock. But yeah, no, I was actually surprised, pleasantly surprised that they, I mean, Marvel's just been pumping everything CGI, nothing practical. I mean, Iron Man hasn't had a practical costume in, you know, 10 years. And now we have the Thing with a practical costume. And yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, that's really cool. I'm glad they're doing that.
Yeah.
Because in the first, the early 2000s movies, it was practical, right?
Yeah.
Right, of course. Yeah. So I'm glad they're going back to that. Because they would... They obviously couldn't have done a CGI one back then, but they could do it now, but it would just look like the Hulk just with rocks.
Yeah. Well, the the Fanforstic, that...
Fanforstic.
That one...
Was that CGI?
Well, yeah. Yeah, that was definitely CGI.
Yeah. I've never seen it, so I don't know.
Very overly CGI'd.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, there's some good news, so some bad news, and then some good news. Yep. Anything else you want to say on that? Fantastic. Like, I'm liking the feel of Fantastic Four. Like, I'm kind of here for it. Like, the set in the 70s or 60s, kind of like Jensen's feel to it, and kind of going back to basics on a lot of Marvel stuff. So hopefully it's not oversaturated with cameos or anything. But it shouldn't be. And maybe it'll just be a good story set in a...
Yeah, it seems like a fun movie.
In the past. Yeah, so we'll see. I mean, but then again, you got female Silver Surfer. Rumor that Sue Storm's going to be the leader of the Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
Who knows?
I don't think it's going to be good. I think we're just...
I'm saying, like, I like the setup for it. I like the aesthetic. I like the setting.
Sure.
It has potential to be good. Out of everything that Marvel has really been producing, like, I'd say this is one thing that's like... I might enjoy this. This actually might be decent.
Yeah.
But I've got my hopes up before, and I've been let down before, time and time again. So
yeah. No, I think they're still gonna push their all their stuff, but yeah. Could happen. Could be good.
Well, yeah.
All right. What else do you got?
Well, let's go back to some bad news. Did you hear the news about Spider-Man 4?
No.
At least the rumors. So. There, I mean, this is just rumors, but apparently it's from pretty credible sources. So there's, you know, end of No Way Home, Peter Parker. Everyone forgets who Peter Parker is. He gets an apartment in New York.
Yep.
And makes his own suit. You know, he's kind of street level Spider-Man, setting that up. And there's rumors that it's gonna be street level Spider-Man. There's gonna be Kingpin. There's gonna be Daredevil, and whatnot. And that was the rumors that that's what the direction they're going. However, it sounds like Sony, because of all the contracts and whatever rights they have to the character, they don't want to do that. Sony wants to do a big multiversal event for Spider-Man 4. Why? Because
No Way Home. That get finalized?
Because no.
Okay.
I don't think any of it's finalized.
Okay, because I had heard that like a year ago.
Oh, well, okay, so yeah, I don't know. This is like recent rumors that Sony's like saying that, you know, this is because you did have that rumor back then. Then you had, no, we're doing street level. And now it's like, oh no, we're doing multiverse.
Sony is the absolute worst thing to Spider-Man.
Well, yeah.
Look at all these villain movies. Well, all the villain movies, everything has been
they hope absolute garbage. Because they released Venom. Venom was a success. They made a lot of money. It was good for the most part. So they thought, oh right, so this is the direction we need to go right now. So let's greenlit a bunch of villain origin stories and Madam Web and all these things, and let's run with it. Probably to set up a universe so that they can bring Spider-Man into it whenever they get the full rights to him, or whenever they work something out with Marvel. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But that plan has failed. You had Morbius, you have Madam Web, Venom 2, I don't think did that well. And now you got Kraven, which I don't think is going to go well. And Venom 3, who knows how that's going to be. And so I don't know. I think Sony saw the success of No Way Home, and they're like, okay, multiverse, multiple Spider-Man, let's do that again. Into the Spider-Verse as well. They give them credit. They did produce that. That was Sony.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really, really well done. However, that's in development hell. Like, I don't think part two is going to happen. It sounds like it's being delayed again. They have no idea when they're going to do it. Apparently there was a bunch. It was a mess to get the second one out, and then the strikes happened, and I don't know.
That's who crazy knows that because happen. Like the rumor was that it was done. Like they had it ready.
Yeah.
Like,
well, it was supposed to come out a year after the second one.
Yeah. So I mean, it was. Yeah.
Or this year. It's, I don't know. I think it's supposed to come out in March this year. So.
Jeez.
So I don't know if we'll ever see that. And
I mean, it was on track to be the greatest trilogy ever.
Oh yeah, it definitely could have been. Though, yeah.
Well, as soon as you start having all these issues, like, even if it did come out, yeah. Like, based on past experiences, like, you know it's not going to be nearly as good.
Or let you down.
You have all these rich people, rich producers putting their thumbs in it and right. messing it up and not making it what the other two were and just all wanting their mm-hmm. opinions into it and all wanting... You know, I'm giving you money, so you have to do my thing. You have to do my thing. You have to do my thing. And then you end up with just this garbage movie.
Right. But, like, I'm sure they also saw, you know, Deadpool and Wolverine, and, like, oh, that made $1 billion, so, hey, let's get Tobey Maguire back. Let's get Andrew Garfield back. And it's like, as much as it'd be great to see him back, I don't really want another No Way Home. We had it once. It was great. Exciting. I know they'll be in Secret Wars.
Well, yeah, but the story sucked. Like, it was the worst.
The story sucked, yeah.
The worst story ever.
And then, of course, I keep going back to, please just give us a Tobey Maguire swan song, last hurrah, Spider-Man 4, Old Man Tobey.
No, listen. Just give us one good Spider-Man movie.
Or that. Like, sure, fine.
You know how long it's been since we've had a good Spider-Man movie?
It's, well, yeah, if you don't...
Are there any good Spider-Man movies? Spider-Man 1, hey, we, or Spider-Man, yeah, Spider-Man
we gave,
1 is
we
the
gave
only...
Spider-Man 3 a raving review, okay? A better review than most people did. All right, we actually found some good in that movie. And the first two Spider-Man, we gave pretty high scores to.
Yeah, we haven't had a good Spider-Man since Spider-Man 1.
But amazing, yeah.
Well, Spider-Man 2, I guess, was good, too. Spider-Man 2. I should say, it wasn't as good as the first, but...
Yeah. Right.
Well, Amazing Spider-Man 2, I really like, so I guess I should...
I know you do. And we're not going to get into that. Spider-Man 4 would be awesome for, well, a Tobey Maguire Spider-Man 4. I think it just needs to happen. And
yeah, absolutely.
Or Andrew Garfield's Amazing Spider-Man 3. That
either one, like, of those would be fantastic.
I would prefer either one of those over a Tom Holland Spider-Man 4.
Yeah. Unless it was street level, Daredevil, Kingpin, that would be good with Tom Holland. But if they don't do that, yeah. I don't want anything else. Like,
My problem with that is I don't think Marvel can make a good Spider-Man with Tom Holland. Because they've butchered Kingpin, in the
What
was the first show he was in? Hawkeye, and then Echo, completely butchered his character. The great Vincent D'Onofrio character from one of the greatest superhero TV shows.
I think we should wait and see what happens with Daredevil. born again and yes. see where they bring that and see, you know, like, because they've changed a lot. Like, they changed their direction. They brought back Foggy and Karen. Like, those are big characters, necessary characters for this show to do well. They brought back Punisher. And, like, Punisher. They're doing all these things. Like
Bullseye.
Bullseye. Yeah. Like, all these things that we really want. They're bringing them in. They know we want these things. And so if they continue in that direction and, like, Born Again, if it comes out and it's actually pretty good, then, you know, maybe they could handle Spider-Man and fix their mistakes. I mean, they saw the numbers Hopefully. For Echo. Like, they know it was the biggest piece of garbage. And
they knew it was garbage before they released it. Because that's why they released it all at once.
Yeah. But speaking of Daredevil, did you see the official released image of Daredevil?
I did see that. Yep.
It's pretty sick. It was really cool.
Yeah, it is. I'm definitely excited about that.
Yep. All bloodied up and
right
in his mask and looks really good.
Yeah.
I'm excited for that.
I hope they can have a win with that one. And they do good by Kingpin. And yeah, that could be a really good setup for Spider-Man 4.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
We'll see.
All right. Well, what good news do you got?
Good news. One, have you heard about GameStop Retro?
GameStop Retro? No.
This is a video game thing. I don't know if we talked about video games really, but I'm going to talk about video games.
We have before.
Yeah. So GameStop Retro. GameStop is... I didn't really understand exactly, but it sounds like they're opening GameStop Retro game stores. So it's a GameStop, but it's all retro games. Mm. So oldies, Super Nintendo, N64, PlayStation 1 and 2... You know, maybe like original Xbox stuff, and they're just selling and they're you know, trading and selling old retro games.
Yeah.
And I just think that's a great idea for the, especially for GameStop, if they want to continue being a successful business. Like,
yeah,
I know, like, new games are great, but it's all digital now.
Yeah, nobody buys.
But what they're doing is they're capitalizing on this new kind of craze for retro things. People just love that nostalgia, and this kind of gets into our whole sequels and remakes and legacy sequels and reboots, that whole discussion, because it's like there is something in us that longs for what we grew up with, that longs for something that's from the past, that we can grab hold of and enjoy even now in our old age. And there's that nostalgia feel to it, that, you know, builds that up. And there's also a sense that it's like, okay, is that just because there's no originality anymore? And in a sense, yes, like that's part of it. But retro things, like retro toy collections, like you go to, like, you know, when we visit Omaha, you know, how many stores are there that they have retro video game stores, they have retro toy stores where they're selling like Star Wars toys from the 90s, you know, or like, even the 80s, like it was when they first came out with Star Wars toys, like and trading and selling, and they're being like successful businesses and successful stores that are able to do this because people want that connection to the past, I guess.
Yeah.
But also want to love that which is old. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of like with the, I think you can be successful in being original in making your own rendition of something that was already great. Like, or just picking off of things that people love and then making your own version of that. So like, I mean, think of Jurassic Park. What is that? That's a movie about people going to a theme park. Like, you know, and when that came out, theme parks were really big. Like, that was a really big thing, and people had nostalgia to theme parks. So what they do, they made a theme park for dinosaurs, and like people loved that. You know, back to the Future. Why was that so great? Because that when that came out, it was nostalgic for all these people when they went to the past and they're like, oh my gosh, that's what I grew up like,
right?
It's taking that nostalgia but making something great with it. So like, even with movies, like, well, what are some great movies? Like, how can you make your own version of that and make the people feel the nostalgia while also being completely original?
Totally. Yeah, and I think that can be done very well.
Yeah.
Just often not done well, and that's interesting. Like, I'm trying to think of an example.
Well,
like,
it's because what they're doing, so like Rings of Power, it's a complete...
Right.
Well, it's a complete bastardization of
yes.
Lord of the Rings. Like, it's they're yes. trying to make Lord of the Rings again, but they're for doing it absolutely audiences. Horribly. And yeah, for modern audiences. But it's like, we don't want a remake of Lord of the Rings. We want something original that can maybe give us the nostalgia of Lord of the Rings, not something that's just complete garbage.
Well, so what do you mean? Like, we do want, like, I would want a Lord of the Rings show done well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, but yeah, so exactly. Like,
though,
a Lord of the Rings show done well. I don't think
a major corporation should touch Tolkien.
Meaning an original story, well, maybe original, like, as in, like, they haven't made a film about it. A story from Tolkien's world that hasn't been told yet on the screen, but not trying to be Lord of the Rings. Like, you're not trying to be that. You're just telling this story. Rings of Power is trying to be Lord of the Rings with this fake Gandalf character, these female versions of Frodo and Sam. Like, it's you're just trying to make Lord of the Rings again, but just completely ruining it and butchering it every step of the way.
It's just so funny. They rely so much on, when they're telling the story, on people knowing these things. Like, there's talks about Mordor and stuff, and it's assuming that you understand what that means and like what's going on here and what Sauron's doing. And then there's the introduction of the rings. It's like, oh, you remember those? And they like present it as in like, oh yeah, you know about this, and this is something that you guys, you know, remember from the movies or even the books, and yeah, we're doing it. We're doing the story, but we're not doing it well. And it just, it feels unoriginal and not well delivered.
Yeah. But yeah, I know for sure.
Anyways.
Well, like if they would have their idea for a new new movie or something, and it's, you know, it's something that Tolkien wrote, and they actually went back to New Zealand to film it. Like, you don't have to have any references to Lord of the Rings, but just the fact that you're in New Zealand, like, that'll bring that nostalgia, that little piece of nostalgia in there that will make people want to see it. Like,
speaking of New Zealand and cash grabs and the Lord of the Rings, apparently they just started filming Hunt for Gollum. Andy Serkis posted a photo, and they're in New Zealand.
Interesting.
They're filming for it. As I said before, don't know why they're doing this story. I watched the first three episodes of the first season of Rings of Power. I'm going to finish it. I'm going to watch the second season. I'm going to catch up. But I'm also reading The Silmarillion, which is really good, and I'm enjoying a lot. I'm just diving really deep into the lore. I'm reading the Lord of the Rings books. I'm almost done with Fellowship of the Ring. A few days ago, I read through the section where they're, the Council of Elrond, where Aragorn is, I think it was Aragorn, describing what happened to Gollum, or Legolas also. So I'm not going to dive too much into the story, but very much the story of Hunt for Gollum is drawn from the Council of Elrond, because they're talking about how Gollum escaped and how they looked all over the place for him. Aragorn actually captured him at one point, but then he got away. And anyways, so they're making a story out of that. My question is Aragorn going to be in the movie? I think he would have to be. Who's going to play him? How are they going to develop his character? Are they going to just draw the same Aragorn from the movies? I don't know. Andy Serkis directing it. He's obviously starring in it. I don't know why they're telling this story. And maybe I think there is a story to tell there, Just why this one, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
But
well, anyway, maybe they know, like, I mean, it's New Line Cinema, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same. It's the same studio, same universe as the Peter Jackson films.
They might be smart enough and be doing what we're saying they should be doing.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
You're right. They might, like, there is a story to be told there. I will agree. It's just, I don't know if it's the right one or it's that compelling.
Yeah. I also don't know
if
Andy Serkis directing is the best choice while also starring.
We'll see.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's been directing a lot more. I mean, obviously he did Venom 2, which was meh. I don't know what else he's done.
Yeah, he's done a handful of movies, but yeah.
I know he has. It's the one
thing. What was your good news?
Oh, the GameStop Retro. I just love that idea because I love, like, there was a retro game store in Bozeman that closed down like 4 years ago. I was really upset about that because I loved going there and I bought some games there and just checking out the old games. So it's just kind of cool that they're doing this, and it just shows that, one, originality is lacking. There's a lot of great video games. I don't know if you've heard about Black Myth Wukong, I think it is. It's a China made game, and it's like pumped out by the Chinese like communist government or something, or funded by the government. But it's actually really good, and it's based off of a book series and like a bunch of lore, like famous lore. It's apparently really good, and it's getting a lot of units sold, and people are playing it like crazy.
Yeah.
It actually had like the highest amount of like current viewers on Steam than any other game ever at one time. So that was like a big deal.
Yeah.
But like there are like good original games out. Like video games are still decently good, though there are a lot that are affected by DEI and just woke ideologies. Like it's affecting the games as well, even though most gamers don't care. Most gamers don't need, as we talked about last week, their disability representations in their video games. Most people don't care what the skin color is of the guy that they're playing as, or even the gender for the most part. Oh, Star Wars Outlaws just came out. That game has been a complete mess. The game is broken. It's glitches like crazy. It's absolutely terrible. It's a terrible story. It looks really bad. It looks like it was game, like the Force Unleashed games that came out in early 2000s or 2008 look better than this game does. Wild. It looks terrible. It's just it's a female Han Solo. That's all you need to know.
Yeah.
She acts like a man. She talks like a man. She is a man, but a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And it's another terrible game that they pumped out, spent millions of dollars on, and I don't think any people are playing. So anyways, don't want to get whole on video games. Retro gaming I think is awesome. If I play video games, which I don't play very often, I like going back to retro games. I have a lot of old GameCube games that I love playing, going back to. Second good news, Sonic 3.
Okay, hold on.
Did you see the trailer?
Do you want to end with Sonic 3?
Sure.
I got like
was my last thing.
All right, I'm just gonna push out a bunch of things real quick. All right.
Oh so yeah, you go for it. Okay.
Quentin Tarantino. So there was rumors that he scrapped the film idea for The Movie Critic as his final and 10th film. So because he's doing 10 films, and then his idea for his final film was A Film Critic, which is really genius and cool. And just great, but there's rumors that he scrapped it, and he says those are false rumors. So his final film is still supposedly going to be about a film critic, which sounds fun.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Have you seen
He also said that Toy Story 4 shouldn't have existed, and that Toy Story 3 was one of the greatest movies of all time.
That's what he said.
Yeah, he said. He said he's never even seen Toy Story 4 because Toy Story 3 concluded the story so well, and had such an emotional impactful ending that there was no reason to make a fourth one, and he'll never watch it.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, it is. I've literally said that. Like,
yeah, no, for sure. Have you heard about Superman, the Christopher Reeve story? It's a documentary about Christopher Reeve's Superman.
So yes, that's, I saw the trailer for it.
Yeah, that looks pretty cool.
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad we actually
haven't
that.
We haven't talked about documentaries at all.
No, we've not.
Which, I mean, I don't watch a ton of documentaries, but there are some great documentaries out there.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have anything else to say on that.
No, I don't think so. I mean, yeah, I'm definitely. I would like to watch that one. I loved watching. Do you remember watching the Christopher Reeve Supermans?
Oh yeah,
back in the day.
Oh yeah,
yeah. We had those on VHS.
Superman 2. Yeah.
Superman 2. We'd watch all the time. I guess I haven't watched that
We used to watch both. Was Superman,
Superman 1 and 2?
Yeah, 1 and 2. We watched those a lot. Yeah.
I don't know if we ever saw the third one, but
I'm pretty sure the third one's like horrible.
I heard it's
like
not good.
Just the worst.
But the first two are supposedly one of the best Superman movies ever, and I really want to go back and watch them because like I have memories of them. Like I can remember like most of the movies. I saw it so many times.
Yeah,
and I would love to go back and watch those.
Yeah, for sure.
Christopher Reeve,
and then
the OG.
Have you seen? Do you see the images for Blumhouse's reboot of The Wolfman?
I didn't know they're doing that.
Yeah.
No. Is it good?
Yeah, it looks really great.
Okay.
You should definitely look at that.
All right.
It looks like a very fun movie.
I like a lot of what Blumhouse does.
Yeah.
I think they have a lot of really terrible movies, but a lot of good ones. And they are getting into that reboot stage. Like James Wan is directing that one. Actually, now I think about it. So maybe I didn't know about it.
Yeah, but it's like a really old movie that they're rebooting. It's not like they're rebooting.
True.
Like The Conjuring.
It'd be like doing a Dracula movie. Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be doing like a Dracula or Frankenstein movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Wolfman. I'm here for that. Like that'd be fun.
Yeah. Absolutely. They did a, what was it called? Hasbro. Is it Hasbro? Who makes the Transformers toys?
Hasbro.
So Hasbro. Sure.
Wait. Yeah.
Anyway, there's a collaboration with Godzilla and Transformers in the toy world. And if it leads into a movie or something, that'd be pretty cool. I'll watch all the Godzilla and King Kong movies to catch up to watch that.
Godzilla X Kong X Optimus Prime X Bumblebee X Megatron.
Yeah. That'd be pretty cool. But yeah, all right. That's it. I got it all out.
X G.I. Joe. Okay.
Think.
There we go. This is an episode of good news.
Yeah.
All right. This is some good news out here. We're not all negative, okay?
We started
off with the Rings of Power.
One more thing.
Okay.
Did you ever watch Prey?
Isn't that
the most recent Predator movie?
The prequel to Predator?
Yeah.
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 I did not.
Me neither.
Actually. Okay.
wait, I think I watched some of it. I didn't finish the movie if I watched any of it. But anyway, they're making a sequel to that movie called Predator Badlands. And they just started filming. Started filming that. And
okay. Interesting.
So the
Predator movies would be fun to watch again.
Predator movies are continuing just as the Alien movies are continuing. And maybe we'll get another Alien versus Predator.
That they made two Alien vs. Predator movies.
Yeah.
I think I saw the first one. I don't know if I ever... I don't even know.
A long time ago,
It's just funny that they... And that's the only movie where the aliens from Alien actually come to Earth.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they're always in space or another planet.
Well, yeah, and it takes place, like, way before...
Well, yeah.
All the Alien movies.
It's before all of the Alien movies, yeah.
They're actually technically not even canon, Prometheus and Covenant. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Sonic 3. I saw the trailer.
Sonic 3. Okay.
A lot to talk about there.
You know, talk what?
There's a lot to talk about.
Talk about retro. That. Like, you know, Sonic is, you know, a retro game, you know, back in the, I guess, wait, on the Sega. Yeah, Sega. You know, old Sega video game. You know, I grew up playing Sonic. I always loved Sonic. You know, my son loves Sonic. He plays, you know, plays a bunch of the video games. He loves the movies. I liked the first Sonic movie. I think was awesome. And one thing I've appreciated about Sonic, and what they're doing at this is going all the way back to the first trailer of the first movie. Do you remember that?
Oh yeah.
Where they released the trailer and it was that abomination of a Sonic that looked like a hedgehog from My Nightmares. And they're like, yep, this is the Sonic that we're going to put into live action for the first time. And they got absolutely roasted and destroyed. And instead of like what most people do, nowadays, instead of blaming the fans or calling the fans a bunch of bigots and hedgehog phobes and whatever, they said, you know what? We are sorry. We're going to fix this. So they go back, they fix it, and they give us a very accurate, very well drawn, animated, CGI'd Sonic that looks like Sonic. It has enough realism to it where it doesn't feel like a cartoon's running around. It's Sonic.
I've been thinking back to that lately, and I'm like, that had to be like a stunt. Like,
I know. Planned. There's rumors.
Like, it was so bad. It was so bad that, like, there's no way that wasn't planned. Like, how would that make it past all the people that had to pass? Like,
I've heard two stories that it was either planned or the animator that released it or that drew it got like in a lot of trouble. I think he got fired or something because he like said, no, this is what we got to do. This is where the direction we're going. And they went with it and got destroyed for it.
Well, if they had gone that direction, if there was an actual plan to go in that direction, they would not be making Sonic 3 right now.
Oh, no. Like, that would have been
not at all.
The biggest video game bomb of all time. Yeah. There's been a lot of video game bombs.
Yeah. No, but the Sonic movies have been doing pretty good, and they actually are pretty good movies. And the third one I'm really excited about. I love Shadow. He's so cool. And
John Wick himself.
Yeah. And it's Keanu Reeves and Jim Carrey came out of retirement for this movie.
Yes. I love how you like... Dr. Eggman comes out of retirement, and Jim Carrey comes out of retirement. He's got a belly. Finally, Dr. Eggman, Dr. Robotnik, is fat-ish.
Yeah.
He's got a little weight to him.
Yeah. And then his dad is in it, right?
He plays his dad. Yeah, he's playing his dad.
Yeah.
That I love that. That was great.
Yeah.
And another thing, like, so... I think this is another example of them listening to the fans. One of the biggest complaints about the second one is that they focus way too much on the humans. I don't know if you remember that. They had a whole entire like B plot of the human characters about them getting like the couple getting married and their wedding and all these things. They had really nothing to do with the actual plot or with Sonic. It kind of did, but didn't really. It was really weird and it wasn't funny. It wasn't entertaining. So they focus so much on the humans. That's like my only complaint at the second one. Otherwise, the second one's pretty good too. I love Knuckles and what they did with him, and I love Idris Elba.
Yeah.
Whatever
happened with the Knuckles TV show? Did that do any good?
I don't know what it did. It was terrible. I watched it.
Oh yeah, we did. I remember we talked about that. That's
about,
funny.
Yeah, I'm not going to dive into that, but it wasn't that great.
Yeah.
But they're listening. I think they're listening to the fans. Like, we're not going to focus so much on humans. Because then you look at this one, and like, there's very few human characters even in the trailer.
Yeah,
it's like besides Dr. Robotnik, otherwise, awesome.
Yeah, which is a character that we want to see.
Yes, I love. Yeah, I love what they're setting up. You know, Shadow, like, they're, you know, there's gonna be a contrast between Shadow and Sonic, and, you know, in their past, how, you know, they both had families, but his family was taken away from him, and he turns into a villain, and Sonic, you know, gets a family, or he loses his home, and then he finds a family and has a good life. And so seeing that contrast and that conflict there between the characters, I think it's been really good. And I think they're gonna do a good job with Shadow, hopefully, and I'm here for it. You know, it's not like the greatest movie ever. It's a kids movie, mm-hmm. But you know, I think it's a win here. Like, it's a kids movie, but it's, you know, still something that we can enjoy, something I can take my kids to at Christmas. Yes. And the other thing is, it's coming out. They finally released. They did the gave us the release date, mm-hmm. December 20th. Did you hear what other movies come out on December 20th?
Uh-uh.
Mufasa. So we're gonna see both those movies released on the same week.
Nobody is going to see Mufasa.
No one's gonna go see Mufasa.
Because like any kid that was gonna go see Mufasa, or any parent that's gonna go take their kid to see Mufasa, is now absolutely not gonna go see
Mufasa. You wanna see a lifeless lion on screen for 2 hours, or do you wanna see Sonic the Hedgehog and Shadow?
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah. That's great.
So that's going to be really interesting. That's going to be really telling for Disney, you know, if it actually flops. Because, I mean, yes, the first Lion King made over $1 billion. We'll acknowledge that. But Disney's not where it was back then.
Yeah. Well,
they've lost a lot of credibility. And releasing this, like, they're releasing something, or they're making a decision that is something that everyone's complaining about as far as, they can't make anything original. These CGI movies are lifeless, or these live action movies are just lifeless and unoriginal, and they just can't make good content anymore.
Yep.
So,
all right. Well, should probably close it out here.
I think so.
Kind of gone on long enough. So yeah, cool. You want to close this out?
Sure. Well, thank you all for watching another episode of Movie Chronicles. Hope we did a good job of just bringing to you the latest news and entertainment and pop culture, and gave our commentary on it. And we actually got some good news this time around. And though it's not the greatest, you know, not anything too great, but some things to look forward to. So we're here for that. And thank you all for just tagging along on this journey, and thank you guys for your support. Please support us on Patreon, and please like, comment, subscribe on our YouTube video and Rumble and all the things, and follow our podcast, subscribe to our podcast.
Yeah. Patreon. We have our special podcast where we talk about some details about some movies, and then we do a little mini review. Total episode lengths are usually about 20-25 minutes. So, yeah, great little podcast, and more content for you guys to listen to.
Yeah, we're hoping to keep expanding our Patreon as we're able to. And I have some great ideas that I'm thinking about doing and working on. And we also got some movies on there.
Yep, we have a couple movies. Original. And we are in development. Or in production on our TV show. We're halfway through our first episode, so we are tagging along on that, and that's going to be exclusive to Patreon listeners and watchers. So, yeah. It's a great way to support us and help us to... $5 a month. Yep. $5 a month. Great way to help us to be able to fight against the woke mob and the garbage stories that are being told.
Yes, we're trying to tell good stories that glorify that which is good, beautiful, and true.
Yep.
And that bring glory to our Lord. And so we're here to tell you guys to watch good movies and glorify God in all you do. And just thank you for helping us and supporting us as we're doing the work that we're trying to do.
Yep. Trying to give you alternatives to what you what your options are. Yeah. So, yep. Thank you, guys. We're out.
All right. We're out. Bye. Bye-bye.